Grace, one of my favorite churches. I love coming here. I first came to Stuart way, 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 way back, maybe in the last millennium. And love to meet Aaron, and this is your daughter, Allison, and Yvonne. You've got another child, maybe, okay, great. Oh, the boys and girls have come back to hear me read my latest book. Is that the idea? Great, because you've not bought this one. This is called The Wedding, and it's only maybe 2 months old, which is what, how you doing? Bob, how good to see you. This man was a famous footballer. He played for Liverpool and Arsenal and, no, just joking. But he did play for Perth. Are you ready? I'm only going to read this if the parents be, hello. And your name is? Sydney. Sydney, nice to meet you. You must be 14. 13. What school do you go to? Very good. I need to tell you something. There is no limit to what you can achieve in life. No limit. So believe for grace. Say, Jeremy, get on and read the story. Ivan. Where'd you go, Ivan? What a lovely song that is you wrote. Holy, very good how it flowed into those other songs. Did you choose all those songs today? Because I like singing songs about Jesus. Sometimes, because I travel around, I go to different churches, and sometimes the worship leaders sing sad songs. Hey, this, you should change the name of your church. This is Grace, We Sing No Sad Songs Church. Because, hey, there's enough sadness in the world without us singing about it. Jeremy, read the story. Okay. Great song, Ivan. Great leading. Great music. Hi. My name's Alpha, and I'm number one. I think I'm the tallest, the smartest, and certainly the best looking. Let me introduce to you my five good friends. Together we make up quite a set. This is my sister Omega. She's number six and always comes last. This is Chip, number two, and his brother Rocky, number three. Why does everyone remind me of my problem? I can't see, complained Chip. Careful, shouted Rocky. Nobody move. I think I'm going to fall. Numbers four and five were twin sisters, Dusty and Echo. I don't like being empty, whispered Dusty. When you're empty, all kinds of things can find their way in. I agree, echoed number five. Why do you repeat everything? Asked Rocky. I don't know, was the reply. These six friends were water pots. They lived in a big house in the small town of Cana. They stood at the front door like sentries guarding a palace, and they were filled with water to be used by visitors to the house. Dust had to be washed from the feet, and hands needed to be washed before eating food. Have you heard the news? Asked Chip. Yes, there's going to be a wedding. Omega spoke up. I hear the whole town has been invited with a special guest, Mary from Nazareth. Mary, I wonder if she will bring her son, Jesus, echo. Why do you repeat everything? Asked Rocky. I'm excited. It would be the biggest wedding ever held in Cana. The house was painted, the courtyard tidied, mountains of food prepared with loaves of rice, bread, meat for the barbecue. Because if you don't have rice, it is only snack. Did you know that? So where were we? Loaves of bread, meat for the barbecue, plenty of fresh olives and dates and grapes. A cart loaded with wine in wineskins was delivered. Do you think they have enough food? Asked Rocky. Yes, replied Alpha. There's enough to feed an army. I'm going to get married one day, said Dusty. I've already chosen my dress. and I will be your bridesmaid, bridesmaid, bridesmaid," added her sister. When the wedding day arrived, everyone in the town came. The water pots were busy, hundreds of pairs of feet were washed, and just as many hands were cleaned before the feast. It wasn't long before the pots were empty. "I don't like being empty. It makes me nervous. I don't want another chip." "Oh, keep still," shouted Rocky. "Don't get me wobbling." "People keep putting their rubbish in me," said Dusty. And then disaster. The wine ran out. It was the worst possible thing that could happen. There couldn't be a wedding feast without wine. Mary, the most important guest from Nazareth, spoke to her son. "Jesus, they have no more wine. Can you do something?" "Dear woman," Jesus replied, "why are you involving me? My time for miracles has not yet come." But Mary was not to be discouraged. She spoke to the servants, five of the most powerful words ever spoken. "Do whatever he tells you." "Did you hear what he said?" asked Alpha. "Do whatever he tells you," replied Chip. "What do you think's going to happen?" asked Dusty. "I think there's going to be a miracle, a miracle, a miracle." Jesus saw the six friends standing at the doorway. They were empty, standing idle. Their job was over. Then Jesus spoke to the servants. "Fill those empty water pots with water. Fill them full, full to the brim." His words were filled with power and authority, and the servants did exactly what he said. "Oh, it's good to be full," said Rocky. "I feel so much more secure." "I wonder what's going to happen," said Chip. "I think there's going to be a miracle, a miracle, a miracle." Jesus spoke to the servants again. "Draw some of the water out of the jars and take it to the master of ceremonies." "We're going to be in trouble," whispered Omega. "They don't want water, they want wine." Something's happening," said Alpha. "This water is changing. It's moving. It's bubbling. It's wine," shouted Rocky. And that's how our six friends became part of a miracle. The master of ceremonies said it was the best wine he had ever tasted. And with each of the six water pots filled to the brim, there was plenty for everyone. This was the first miracle performed by Jesus. It was an act of love and kindness. The next day, our six friends were standing as usual at the front door. "What an amazing wedding." "Best wedding I've ever seen," said Alpha Omega. "I feel so much more confident," said Rocky.
"No one noticed my problem," Chip added.
Dusty spoke up. It's so good being useful. I don't like being empty. I feel really important."
"We were all part of a miracle, miracle, miracle."
Echo always had the last word.
"But how did it happen?" asked Omega.
Alpha replied, "It was those words that Mary spoke to the servants. Do whatever he tells you."
"Yes, the Lord wants each one of us to be involved," said Omega. "There's something for everyone to do, even water pots."
Jesus was the hero. When he spoke to the servants, a miracle happened. His words have power. As usual, Echo had the last word. Wherever Jesus is, there will be a miracle, a miracle, a miracle.
Nice story. Yeah, very good.
So, at Coorong, how much do you think they will sell this book for?
Who said that?
$10. You are correct. But it's Sunday. Special offer on Sunday.
$5. Everybody say, wow. If you're Echo, you would go, wow, wow, wow.
So this is number 8 in the series. Everybody say, wow, wow, wow. Eight books. And you can have all eight. Now, let me work this out. Eight fives. You can have all eight for 50. Special deal just for you. No, if you haven't got the series, there is quite a demand, so I'm not sure if we can. Anyway, you can have all eight for 30. What a crazy idea that is. Shirley, where are you, Shirley? Shelley. Okay. If we do run out, take names and addresses, take the money, and I will mail them at my expense. Okay. Show me the next little slide. Because as you're aware, I have a big missions influence in Poland, which is in Eastern Europe. And you can see it's bordered by Germany on the west, Ukraine on the southeast, Belarus, and Russia. But can you see above Poland there is a little R? Because in the division of Europe, Russia wanted a warm water port. And so they actually have a border with Poland. And I've stood at that border. Really, really scary. Huge towers and barbed wire and machine guns and scary. And of course, you are aware that for the last 3 years, there has been a terrible war in the Ukraine. The Poles don't call it the Ukraine war. They call it Putin's war. Isn't that interesting? But over the last 15 years, my wife and I have been involved in planting churches in Poland. And here are all the churches, the 21 churches that we have been able to partner in Poland. Doesn't that look good? It looks like Poland has a serious case of the measles. But actually, those are all churches. And some of them have done very well. Some of them have their own buildings. Some of them have a Bible college. Some of them are planting other churches, which is very exciting. And three of them are comprised of Ukrainian refugees. There are more than 20 AG churches in Poland that have been started since Putin's war. So Mr. Putin says, you know, I'm going to stop the Ukraine. I'm going to stop the church. But Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Isn't that wonderful? And so I know that on my visit last November, I sent to Pastor Aaron my details, and I think you shared it with the church or with the prayer group. And so if you prayed for me, thank you very much. It is a challenge to go so far into snow. Now, let me just say, snow, it falls from the sky. It's sort of lightly frozen rain. It doesn't snow in Singapore, does it? Not yet. It hasn't snowed. It should have. No. If it snows in Singapore, we are all in trouble. So you go to a different culture, different food, different language. And so if you prayed for me in November, thank you very much. When you travel, you actually become aware of people praying for you. I can't explain what that feels like, but you just feel stronger because of it. And then last September, I went to the Philippines. I think I sent you the itinerary of that as well. And we did seven how to preach, how to become a better preacher seminars. More than 700 pastors attended. It was a great success. And they invited me back last March. And I went to the island of, the city of Cebu in the Philippines. Anybody ever been to Cebu? A big city. And we held a seminar there. And the pastor said, we haven't got many coming. There's only about 40 pastors coming. I said, that's okay. If I can help one, it'll be worth it. Well, we ended up with 248. And it was 30 degrees temperature and 110% humidity. I lost weight. It was either the anointing that resurrected me or Coca-Cola. I'm not quite sure, but so thank you. Thank you for your partnership with us. And so I pray that I am not here today because you know, I'm just a visiting preacher. I seriously pray that I am your friend, because Pastor Aaron and Yvonne, you're not alone. You know, we love you. My wife and I, we love you, we appreciate you, and we pray for great success on your life. And your name, sweetie, Allison, and you look like you're 15. 14. Wow. How's school going? And does your dad care for you? Does he give you enough allowance every week? You don't get an allowance. Oh, he just gives you money whenever you need it. Oh, good, good. That comes from having, you got a sister, haven't you? That comes from having three women in the house. Is this true? No, you won't say anything. Okay. So that book I've written since I was with you. I have written this book since I was with you. Some of you have got a book called The Miracles of Jesus. And this is the companion one called The Powerful Words of Jesus. And it's 56 devotions with sermon outlines. And it's based on not just the works that he did, but the words that he spoke. And this is a terrific resource. It'll bless you, it'll help you. It's a great daily devotional, but it will also inspire you. Koorong, $30. Sunday special, $20. See Shirley afterwards, and she'll take money, cash, credit cards. She'll barter with you for, you know, whatever, won't you? Okay. Oh, by the way, there are now three in the set, and if you want to buy the whole set, you can have that three, Sunday special for $50. Good idea. Oh, Jeremy, you must be very, very wealthy. Well, actually, all the proceeds go to missions. So I have to raise my own fare for Poland. I have to raise my own fare for the Philippines. And so everything we receive, it goes to the ministry. So have a look at that, please. And some of you in the past have bought these books, and these are called The Preacher's Gold. And the way they work is that you have on one side the Bible, then my explanation and how you can preach this. And I've got a set of the Gospels, 10 books, $10 each, special for $80, 2,000 sermon outlines in these. Thank you for your overwhelming response to that. So, thank you. Can you find my sermon out the notes? Is there a clock in here? Yeah, I can see the clock, so I know exactly what time it is. Today, I want to talk to you about how you can maximize your life, how you can find the will of God, and not just find the will of God, but to do the will of God. And so this is how to live a successful life, how to experience miracles. And it comes from the five words that Mary spoke to the servants. And we are going to read these together. Are you ready? Just give a little cough to clear your... Are you ready? And we're going to read it slowly. Are you ready? Do. Big voice. Come on. Do whatever he tells you. You should never send a text without reading the text before you press send. Because there is something called predictive text. And the phone can say things you didn't write, and you are in trouble. Our brains have predictive reading. We can actually, our brains will predict what it says. And when we look at the Bible, it's really important to understand that every word is powerful. Let me say that to you again. Every word in the Bible is powerful. And therefore, we mustn't read it fast or quickly. We have to pause because every word is important.
So why don't we read this again slowly, loudly, clearly? Here we go. Five words. Do whatever he tells you. Turn to the person next to you and say the secret to living a successful life is do whatever he tells you. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels. It means they follow the same storyline. They are very similar, with a lot of common material. But John's Gospel is different. Matthew, Mark, and Luke focus on the words and the works of Jesus. John records what Jesus did and said, but it actually reveals who Jesus is. John's Gospel is actually a Christology. So it's more than what he did or said, but who he is. In John's Gospel, Jesus is the King of the Jews. In Mark's Gospel, he is the servant of the Lord. In Luke's Gospel, he's the Savior of the world. But in John, he is all those things and more. He is the eternal, divine Son of God. He is the creator and the sustainer of all things. He is the Word from the beginning. He has the same nature and essence as God. He is the great I Am. In John's Gospel, we meet some unique people. We read of Nicodemus, the woman at the well, and Lazarus. John has some unique sayings of Jesus, because only in John do we hear Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. John records some unique miracles. Only in John do we hear of Lazarus being raised and the man at the pool being healed and the blind man with mud in his eye. And in John chapter 2, Jesus turns water into wine. Matthew, Mark, and Luke begin the ministry of Jesus, begin their record of the ministry of Jesus in dramatic ways, where he is healing people and evicting demons. He's in the synagogue, he's in the temple. But John introduces Jesus at a wedding, when he turns water to wine, an act of kindness. And that's who Jesus is. He's good, he's kind, he's wonderful. So fasten your seatbelts. We are going to a wedding. I trust you've got your Sunday best on. I trust you have your dancing shoes on, because we're going to a party. So here is John chapter 2. And I think this is verse 1, and this is what it says. Why don't we read it together? On the what day? On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana. Everybody say Cana. Town of about 2,000-3,000 people. Where is it? In the district of Galilee. Here's an interesting thing. Jesus' mother was there. Now, she didn't live in Cana. Where did she live? She lived in Nazareth, about a 20-kilometer walk away. Mary, Jesus' mother, was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. In the culture of the time of Jesus, wedding celebrations would usually start on a Wednesday and last for 7 days. And everybody was invited. Oh, they had a guest list of family and friends, but then the whole town or village would be invited. And Cana had 2,000 to 3,000 people. And for 1 week, the young couple, the newly married couple, would hold an open house so everyone could come. I remember saying and asking a young Indian man from my church in Adelaide. He'd gone back to India for an engagement party. And I said, Anthony, how many people came? He said, 6,000. He said, in our culture, you invite the whole town. Now, Mary was there. She was a specifically invited guest. She was probably related to the family because she takes responsibility for the problem. Joseph isn't mentioned, and we can only presume that he has died. The venue, Cana, 15 to 20 kilometers north. The single woman needs to be accompanied on the journey, and so her eldest son, Jesus, is invited as well, and he brings his disciples. Up until this time, we actually know the name of six of the disciples that Jesus had chosen. So, wonderful scene. Verse 3. Here we go. Let's read it together. When the wine were... Oh, disaster. So we're going to read it like this. When the wine was gone. Oh, no. Because the Jews had a saying, where there is no wine, there is no joy. And remember, there are still people coming to the reception. So there's a big crowd with more coming, and they've run out of wine. Oh. So here we go. Are you ready? When the wine was gone, oh, no. Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Here's the truth. What do you do when you run out of wine? You go to Jesus. What do you do when your money runs out? You go to Jesus. What do you do when you lose your job? You go to Jesus. What do you do when you don't know what to do? You go to Jesus. What do you do when you're faced with impossibility? You go to Jesus. What do you do when you are running on empty? You go to Jesus. Where do you turn? When you don't know where to turn, you turn to Jesus. What do you do when fear grips your heart? You go to Jesus. What do you do when darkness overwhelms you? You go to Jesus, because Jesus is always the answer to every situation. Now, Mary knows who Jesus is. He's done no miracle. He's spoken no great words of authority. But she knows. She remembers at his birth, the angels, a child, you know, Messiah, Christ, Son of God. She knows this. Maybe she has heard the news from when Jesus went to the Jordan and was baptized by John, and heaven opened and God spoke. This is my son. She had heard John the Baptist declare, behold, the Lamb of God. And she's thinking to herself, we have a problem, but I know who you are. Can you do something? The next answer that Jesus gives is fascinating. In verse 4, it says this, woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. Woman sounds a bit harsh, a bit cold, but it literally means dear lady. He's not being that way. What he's saying is this, this isn't the time and this isn't the place. Yes, you know who I am, but it's not the time. My time hasn't come yet. And then in verse 5, we have these five words that will transform your life. Here are five words that can connect you with your eternal destiny. Here is five words for the direction for grace. Are you ready? His mother said to the servants, big voice, here we go. Do whatever he tells you. There are all sorts of pressures on pastors, all sorts of advice, all sorts of books on leadership and church growth and church health, all sorts of images of what other people are doing around the world. But here's the key for you, Aaron. Do whatever he tells you. Wonderful words, powerful words. You need to listen. His words are powerful. And Mary says to the servants,
Don't take your eyes off him. And listen, in all the noise of the wedding, in all the music and the conversation, you need to listen to what he's going to say. Because whenever Jesus speaks, miracles happen. Thank you for one amen for that. Verse 6. Nearby stood six. Everybody say six. Six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing. Now, my grandkids say that I'm the wash hands Nazi. Because when they go to the bathroom, do you know what I say to them? Wash your hands. You know what I really don't like is when you go to somebody's house and they say, let's hold hands before we say grace. Anybody feel the same way as I do? I think to myself, I hope they wash their hands. Now, the Jews were very religious because when somebody arrived at the house, the first thing that would happen is that servants would wash their feet, wash the dust from the roads. And then if they were going to eat, even a snack, they would wash their hands. And if they had a meal and there were different courses in the meal, at each course they would have to wash their hands again. And it made the Jewish people unique, different, separate from all the other nations. So here they are, there are six, and each of these jars hold between 20 to 30 gallons. Does anybody know what a gallon is? Tell us, Bob, what's a gallon? It's 8 pints. What's a pint? Actually, it is 4.543 litres. I'm so old, I can remember when they used to sell petrol in gallons. Anybody as old as me and can remember, they, you know, and it was like, I remember it was 7 and 6 or something. That was 7 shillings and 6 pence. You could buy a gallon. And so I do remember when I bought a Mazda 808 and drove it down through Osborne Park and filled up the tank for $5. And the petrol was 12.9 cents a litre. Everybody say, you're either very old. I remember. Anyway. So 20 to 30 gallons. Each gallon is 4.5. So do the mathematics. Somewhere between 90 to 120 litres in the six jars. Now, the jars were not little jars that would sit on a table. These are from floor to about chest high. And so each one, and there are six of them, 90 to 120, do the math there, that is somewhere between 600 to 800 litres of water would be in. It's a lot of wine. Okay, a lot of water. Verse 7, please. Jesus said to the servants, please read with me the words of Jesus. Fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Now there is tautology here. Tautology is using the same word in a sentence more than once. So the word fill means filled to the very top. It means to be totally saturated. It means that you are completely filled, so there is room for nothing else. Anybody want a miracle? Get so filled with Jesus, there is room for nothing else. Anybody want to experience a successful life? Be so filled with the Holy Spirit, there is room for nothing else. So Jesus said to the servants, I want you to fill those jars right to the top. So what did they do? So they filled them to the top, and then it adds to the brim. What was empty is now filled. What was of no value now has great value. What seems to have served their purpose
has now got a new purpose to discover. Fill them to the top. Fill them to the full. Well, verse 8. Then Jesus told them, now draw some out. Draw what out? Draw some of the water out. So here is the large jar. They dip into the jar some kind of jug to draw out the water. Can you see that? Do you understand it? Now draw some out, take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned to wine. He didn't realize where it had come from, though the servants knew who had drawn the water. At the birth of Jesus, who were the first witnesses of his birth? Shepherds, common everyday people. Here is his first miracle. And who are the witnesses? Unnamed servants. Because Jesus didn't come just for the high and mighty. He came for everyone. And somewhere, sometime between scooping out the water and taking it to the master of the ceremonies, a miracle happened. And that's what Jesus does. He does miracles. So, next verse. Then the master of the banquet called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. Very quickly, this isn't my sermon. Let me talk to you about what Jesus did. First of all, it was supernatural. This was not a confidence trick. Oh, partly fill them with water and then add a bit of wine so it will be diluted and have the flavor of wine. This was not magic. It was a miracle. It wasn't done in secret. It was done openly. It was God supernaturally intervening in life. Never discount the God factor, because God does supernatural things. Hey, get ready for miracles here at Grace. Okay, I'm going to preach to you from now on. Get ready for miracles here at Grace. Get ready for the supernatural. And they may be healing miracles, but they might be provision miracles. It might be miracles of employment. It might be miracles, of relationships that are restored. But God does supernatural things. How great is our God? He's worthy of our praise, and he does the supernatural. Not only does he do that, but he does things in abundance. Would you hold that, please? Because it's quite warm in here. And now I pray that I did iron my shirt. So is my shirt all right? Nice color? It's trendy? Yeah. Abundant. We actually calculated, didn't we? 6 water pots. Each water pot's got between 90 to 120. Do the maths. Somewhere between 600 and 700 liters of wine. It's something in the vicinity of maybe 70, 80 cases of wine. You need a forklift truck. It's an abundant supply. And that's the God we serve. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above everything you expect and you ask. Not only does God do supernatural things, but he does abundant things. Hey, get ready to be blessed, Grace. Get ready for the abundant provision of God in your life. Thirdly, it was the very best. Ha ha. Ask me what the best sermon I have ever preached is.
What's the best sermon have you ever preached?
The next one. Because if we've arrived, might as well go to heaven. But if God has got better things for us, if we go from one level of glory to the next level of glory,
if we go from faith to faith, if we discover there is water to ankles or water to knees or water to the thighs and then water to swim in, there's more. And what God does, it's abundant and it is the very best. Thank God for all that's happened in grace. But I have some wonderful news. Your future is better than your past. You stand on His shoulders so you can build higher and build, go further and do more, because God's got good things in store for you, the very best. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember the good old days. Maybe the good old days weren't quite as good as what we thought. But if the good old days were good, let me tell you that the best is yet to come. So I'm now 73. Everybody say, you don't look that old, Pastor. So let me try it again. I'm 73. But the best days of my life are ahead of me. And the best days of this church are ahead of you. And the best days of the harvest are yet to come. And the best days of God's global outpouring are yet to happen. And the best days of the Spirit's outpouring, hey, we are not going down, we are going up. We're not in decline, we're still climbing mountains. We're not dying out, we're multiplying. And what God brings into our lives is from the top drawer. It is the very best. Ivan, where are you, Ivan? There are more songs in your heart, Ivan. Better songs, greater songs, if you sing them about Jesus. So start writing them. Start singing them. Your best sermons yet to happen. Keep preaching. Keep believing. Keep stretching yourself. Verse 11. What Jesus did here in Canaan of Galilee was the first. Everybody say first. First of the signs. When the Bible uses sign, it means signpost. It's pointing to something or pointing to someone. What's it pointing to? The first of the signs through which He revealed His glory. I pray that here at Grace, the glory of God will be seen so that people will believe in Him. How do we maximize our life? How can we live life to the full? How can we live in the overflow? How can we live a supremely successful life? And it's simply five words: do whatever He tells you. So let me talk about each one of those words very briefly. Do. This is a call to action. We have to get busy. God doesn't want you to sit in the grandstand watching the game. He wants you to get out of the grandstand and become part of the game. Do. We've got to get busy. So there's an opportunity next, is it 2 weeks' time, to go to My Vista and minister to people that maybe the community finds it easy to forget. It's an opportunity. And there are opportunities at the prayer meeting on Wednesday in Nullumara. And there's opportunities in the music team, an opportunity in the serving team. Hey, get busy. God calls us to action and activity. In the parable of the workers in the vineyard, the landowner hires people at 6 a.m., 9 a.m., 12 noon, 3 p.m., and then at 5 in the afternoon, he goes to the place where they are hiring people for work, and he finds men who are standing there doing nothing, and he says to them, what have you been doing all day long? Hey, get busy. God does not want you to sit on your seat and just wait for His return. He wants you to get involved and included in serving Him in the church. In many of the miracles that Jesus performed, He would give simple, clear commands to people. To the paralyzed man, get up, grab your bed, go home.
to the man with the mud in his eye, go wash in the pool of Siloam. To the leper, go and show yourself to the priest. To Peter, launch out into deep water, let down the nets. To the man with the withered arm, stretch out your hand. Each person that experienced a miracle had to contribute to that miracle. They had to exercise their faith. Hey, get busy. Do. We're called to action. Oh, but Jeremy, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, let me make you some suggestions. If you're married, this is what God wants you to do. Love your wife. That didn't get a response at all. Oh, what do you want me to do? Love your wife. What do you want me to do? Get out of bed and go to work. What am I supposed to do? Do your homework. What am I supposed to do? Finish the course you enrolled in. What does God want? Tidy the house, mow the lawn, balance the budget, and get busy in church. God's called you into action. And here's the interesting thing. If you take little steps, God shows you other steps to take. We actually want to see the end. But God, like the headlights of a car, gives us just enough light so that we can take small steps. Love your wife, honor your parents, you know, tidy your room, work, study. And as you take the small steps, as you do the small steps, the big will of God unveils in your life. So many years ago, at a pastor's conference, a retreat out in the bush, and this there were about 40 of us there, and the preacher ran down and prophesied over me. He prophesied that God would take me to nations that I didn't know and serve him there. And he went on and on and on. And one man came to him at the end and he said, Jeremy, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Next day, it was cleanup time at the camp. And my associate pastor, who was responsible for the camp, got me to clean the bathrooms. And I was going to be a world famous preacher. He wasn't my associate pastor much longer after. He became a missionary in Africa. But as you do the simple things. So can I tell you, I don't want to embarrass you. So I'm in the Philippines. I'm in a place called Camp Balogan. And the pastor has built this... it was a hotel church. On the ground floor was a cafe. On the second and third floors were the church, a bit like, you know, where you've got two floors, that happens in Singapore often. And then the fourth floor was accommodation. And top floor was the rooftop balcony with swimming pool. I'm being very gracious. You should read the reviews on travel. And it had a wonderful view of the prison. And so there was a big guy that sort of wandered around the building, and he sort of thought that he was the caretaker, and he sort of didn't speak very good English, and he was mumbling and muttering, and he appeared to be very belligerent. That word means threatening. So I must confess, I was a little intimidated by him. And I thought, Pastor, what are you doing using somebody, you know, like this? You know, you want the... Well, at the seminar, a very nice lady arrived with a handbag, and in the handbag was a dog. One of these, you know, chihuahua. And it had a blue ribbon around its neck. And she let it out of the bag, and it ran down the front, cocked its leg, and urinated on the church floor. How ungodly. Who cleaned it up? The belligerent big guy. He saw it immediately, and I had to repent.
because I had judged him on the outside. I judged him on the external. Because we think, oh, the greatest people are the preachers, the greatest people, you know, are the musicians, the greatest people are the elders and the leaders. Actually, the greatest in the kingdom of God is who? The servant of all. So, interesting. So step one, if you want to maximize your life, do. You've got to get busy. But what do we do? What's the second thing? Shout it at me. Whatever. You've got to lay aside your preconceived ideas and do whatever God calls you to do. And sometimes he'll call you to do unusual things. God said to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. The son you waited 20 years for, you need a... That's a whatever. That's unusual. But God has it all under control. And then for Elijah to pour water on the sacrifice when he's praying for fire, he didn't pour accelerant on the fire. It was water. But it was one of those whatevers. And sometimes we think, oh, you know, whatever God calls you to do, how unusual it might be, how small it might seem, we've got to be ready. Hey, Grace Church, get ready for the whatever. Because God does not clone. He creates. So you are not in competition with Mrs. Court, with Pastor Court. Margaret, you know, do you know? It's not a competition. And you're not here to duplicate that. You're here to be Aaron Tan, full of the Holy Spirit, doing whatever he tells you to do. You all right? You okay? All right. Am I picking on him? Okay. I'll go back to Stuart. Okay, so. Get ready for the whatever. Do whatever he tells you. Because the focus of church and the focus of ministry and the focus of a successful life is not me, it is him. Do whatever he tells you. And so we can find all sorts of resources on what we should do, where we should go. But actually the key to his all is that we have to focus on Jesus. So when you choose songs, Ivan, you choose songs about Jesus. And when you preach sermons, you preach about Jesus. And what a good idea to preach on Hebrews 12:1. Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the completer, the perfecter, looking to him. It means to put the blinkers on the horse. Stop being distracted by all the other... You want to write that down? Yes. You know... You know, stop being distracted by the other runners in the race and run your race, fixing your eyes on Jesus. Do whatever he what? The words of Jesus are powerful. The words of Jesus produce faith. The words of Jesus produce miracles. Do whatever he tells, he speaks. And so, remember Mary speaking to the servants, there's noise in the room. You've got to focus your hearing on him. And we live in a noisy world with all sorts of voices going on. And we need to tune our ears to Jesus. Do whatever he tells, he speaks. Just one word from Jesus changes everything. Just one word from the Savior changes everything. You know, Jesus was not a long preacher. Okay? He didn't preach long. Where's that in the Bible? Luke 5. It says when Jesus finished speaking, he sat down. So remember, some pastors, preachers, are like planes where the pilot hasn't learned how to land the plane. And they fly round and round until they run out of fuel. Write your conclusion. Okay, Jeremy, stop it. I pray that in Grace Church, the words of Jesus will be heard. Oh, Jeremy, how can I hear from Jesus? Read the Bible. Because Jesus speaks to you when you read the word. And when you read the word, have a pen and a paper, because, hey, look what he says. Do whatever he tells you. So God custom designs your life. We are not children of chance. We're not lost in the universe, wandering in space. We're actually in his hand. He's got your name on his hand. He's got your picture on his fridge. The good news, he's got a very big fridge. But Alison, you're known. He planned your life before you were born. Do whatever he tells you. And when you do that, who knows what God can do for you and through you and in you? Hey, hold your shoulders back. Rise up, you woman of God. Do whatever he tells you. We have to follow his personal plan. I've got 2 minutes to go. Here are 3 words. Are you ready? Have we got 3 words? I hope so. Dear Lord, please let there be 3 words. Oh, here we go. Say the 5 words with me. Do whatever he tells you. Here are the 3 words. Whatever. Whenever. Wherever. So this is what I pray continually. This is what I pray when I hold the bread and the wine in my hand. I will say, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Whenever you want me to go, I'll go. And wherever you want me to go, whether it's the Philippines, whether it's Poland, you know, what, you know, Sri Lanka, here is my whatever. Here is my whenever, and here is my wherever. And God is waiting for people, ordinary, everyday people, servants whose names we don't know, but become part of the first miracle. Do whatever he says. Fill the water pots with water and then pour them out like it's wine. You got to be mad. You got to be crazy. No. Whatever and whenever and wherever. Would you join me in that prayer? Yes. Well, why don't you stand to your feet? Put your hands in front of you like this, as if you were carrying a tray. Maybe you're a waiter at a dinner and you're bringing in the food. Or maybe you're at the Olympic Games and they've got the cushion with the medals. But we are presenting Jesus with far more than food or with medals. We're presenting Jesus with our whatever and our whenever and our wherever. So Jesus, it's me, it's Jeremy. Come on, why don't you pray that, but put your name there. Jesus, it's me. Speak out your name. Here is my whatever. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And here is my whenever. Because my future is better than my past. And Lord, I'm not too old, I'm not too young. Here's my whenever. And here is my wherever. Because if you open the door, I'll walk through it. And so here we are, Lord, and we declare again today that we will do whatever you tell us. This is Grace Church. It belongs to you, Jesus. This is your church. And as a group of people, we say together, here is our whatever, Lord. No questions, no discussion. Oh, we should be doing what that church. No, no, no. Whatever, Lord, whatever you want us to do, we'll do. And whenever, because you're the Lord of the harvest and you know when the harvest is ripe, here is our whenever, Lord. And here is our wherever. I pray that Grace Church will be a church without walls, that people can come, but the church can also go to the nations of the world, to the suburbs of Perth that need another church, to the country towns that need another church, to the nations of the world. So that, Lord, when I go to the Philippines or to Poland, I'm aware that there are friends in Perth that pray for me and strengthen my life. So here is our wherever, Lord, wherever you lead us, we'll go.